about faith than I am right now. Amen? Because I know that no matter what happens, God's word always works. You know what? This can never fail. Say, God's word cannot fail. And when I trust his word, I can't fail either. Amen. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. We're going to get into a little bit of our words tonight and how our words work with our faith. And we'll get there in just a little bit. I'm not going to go as long tonight, so praise God. Well, you never know. I mean, if the Holy Spirit wants us to go, then we'll go. You know, I don't come here with an agenda. I mean, I have things prepared, but my agenda is to do whatever God wants to do. Amen. He is the conductor of this meeting tonight. And we're just letting him lead and guide us. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, I was thinking about this verse. And it says, so then, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you know, there are two ways that you can hear the word of God. You can hear a message about Christ, right? The gospel is what? What is the gospel? Good news, right? So you can hear faith two ways. You can hear someone speak a message about Christ and faith will come to your heart. But then the second way is when you hear yourself speak a message about Christ, and it'll also come to your heart. Amen? Hearing and hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. You know what? When you hear a message about Christ, it's okay to repeat what you heard. Amen? The Bible says to be imitators of God, doesn't it? So, when God says something, you can say what God says, and you get the same results that he would if he were to say it. And the more you say it, the more you believe it. And the more you believe it, the more you say it. I love how that works. Okay? So, you know, you believe yourself more than anybody else. You need to hear yourself speak what God said. Your words should line up with Scripture across the board. For example, let's say you're lacking something, okay, and you need this, whatever it is, doesn't matter. So you go to the Word and you hear what God said about the thing that you lack. You hear how he wants to give it to you. You hear how it's his will to have it. Okay? So, and you take it to heart. You believe that what he said is true. You believe it's yours. All right? You take possession of it. But as you walk along, you can't be saying something different than what you started off saying. If you're really going to walk by faith, you've got to say what God said. You've got to say what God said. You've got to say what God said. You've got to you can't veer to the left. If you veer to the left, you're going to have to start back over again. Amen? So you got to keep saying what God said. Go with me to the book of Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. This is awesome. And look at verse 4. Notice this. Since we heard of your what? Let me ask you something. Have people heard of your faith? Do you have a faith reputation? Notice, Paul is writing about another group, and he's saying that since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, notice, if someone's going to hear of your faith, what are they going to hear you doing? They're going to hear you speaking what you believe, and what you believe should line up with what God said. That's how you build your faith reputation. Okay? Paul said, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, how many know that your faith won't work without love? If you're going to be in faith, you better be in love. And you better be in love with people. Because if you're not in love with people, it will hinder your faith. All right? Okay. Notice, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. Notice, everybody say all the saints. There's not one saint that you shouldn't love. Okay? For the hope which is laid up for you, faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for. Okay? You guys are smart. You must have attended this class before. For hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. So where did you hear about the hope that was laid up for you in heaven? You heard a message about Christ, and Christ came down from heaven. So when you heard a message about Christ, you heard a message of hope that was laid up for you in heaven. Notice now, which is come to you, as it is in all the world, and brings forth fruit, as it does also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth. So there's a lot of hearing going on, right? Paul was hearing of their faith, and they heard the faith because they heard the message of Christ, and they discovered that there was a hope laid up for them in heaven. Praise God. That's exciting. And notice that phrase, since the day you heard of it. Does that signify that they changed from what they heard? Since the day you heard of it. They must have heard about it, but they must have kept what they've heard for more than one day. We're supposed to live by faith. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. Amen? Everything that we do should be by faith. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Can you listen quickly? All right, you listen quickly, I'll talk quickly. And together it'll be great. Verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because, we're going to find out the cause that caused them to thank God. Okay? For this cause, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us. Who's us? Paul and whoever was with him. Right? Paul went to Thessalonica, he preached about Christ, and they heard the message. And he was thanking God without ceasing because they received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually works also in you that who? That what? So if you don't believe, the word isn't going to work in you. You know, Hebrews tells us what they heard didn't benefit them because they didn't mix faith with what they heard. But Paul is acknowledging that the Thessalonians, they received what they heard as the word of God. They didn't go around saying, well, I remember what Paul said. No, they went beyond Paul. They said, I heard what God said. Paul just happened to be the avenue by which God was speaking at the moment. Amen? And God's got a lot of spokespersons. Say, I'm a spokesperson for God. Well, you are, because you're an ambassador of Christ. An ambassador is a spokesman or woman, spokeswoman. Amen? Okay? So, notice what they heard. Notice how they received it. They received it as it was from God, not from a man. Okay? Listen, you got to get past the messenger. There was a mess in the Corinthian church because they kept saying, well, I'm of Apollos, or I'm of Paul, or I'm of this guy. No, be of Jesus. Amen? And then finally go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And and let's see here. We want to go to verse. Let's go to verse 19. James 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, say, I'm the Lord's beloved. You really are. God loves you. Let every man be swift to what? We need to be swift to hear and slower to speak. Because you got to give yourself time to process what you hear. Too often, we're trying to speak before we've allowed what we've heard to process, to digest. Remember the how we talked about what develops our faith, the different things, meditation, confession, all that stuff? Be swift to hear and slow to speak. Slow to wrath. You know, the slower you are to speak, the slower you are going to get angry. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Isn't that interesting? Do you know when you're angry for the wrong thing, you're not working the righteousness of God? Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That doesn't even sound good. And receive with meekness. How are you supposed to receive the word? With meekness. Relying on Christ, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your soul. Did you know that there's power in the received word? How many has ever heard the phrase that seeing is believing? That's not true according to the Bible. In the Bible, you got to switch it around. Believing is seeing. Okay? So make that adjustment. Believing is seeing. Faith sees the end result over the current circumstances. Faith knows, faith sees, faith acts, faith speaks, faith rejoices, faith stands, and faith fights. And there's a lot of other things that faith does, but I just fit it in that little space. Amen? Okay. You know that blind faith is presumption. There's no such thing as blind faith. How many know the story of when Jesus walked on the water? And his disciples were in the boat. They had just experienced a storm, and then they saw this figure walking on the water. And Peter came up with a bright idea. He said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. And I'm sure that the other guys were going, Peter, be quiet, shut up. You know? What did Jesus say to Peter's question? If that's you, bid me come. What did Jesus say? Did he say, come, Peter? No, he just said the word come. Who could have responded to that word? Anybody that was in the boat. But how come only one got out of the boat? Because only one received what he said. Andrew, Philip, whatever other disciples were with Peter could have gotten all out of the boat because he didn't say, come, Peter. He said, come. Anybody in the boat could have responded to what he said, but only one did. Only one responded, and his name was Peter, because Peter was adventurous. And he got out of the boat, and he walked on water. You know, he thought, I always wanted to know what it'd be like to surf. Now, he was fine as long as he was only looking at Christ and nothing else. But where did he start to fall? When he looked at the circumstances. And I'm not just talking about looking, but he changed his focus from Christ to the circumstances. And he allowed his mind to say, wait a minute, I've got this wind and this wave, and I shouldn't even be able to do this. But he could do it because Jesus said it. You can do whatever Jesus says. You can have whatever Jesus says you can have. You can be whoever Jesus tells you to be. He just needs some people to do what he said. You know, you need to hear God for yourself. You know the story of the woman at the well? She went and told the people in Samaria, come here, a man who told me all I ever did. And half the town came out. What a witness. But the people who came out made this interesting observation. They said, now that we've heard him for ourselves, we believe, even more so than when you told us about it. What they said was, basically, I'm paraphrasing, the woman, they said, okay, the woman, you got us out, but we heard him for ourselves, and we believe. And Jesus, they invited Jesus to stay with them for 2 days. Because they heard him for themselves. You got to ask yourself this. Is what God says true? Ask yourself, do you see yourself with what God said? Let me give you an example. God told Moses, I want you to go to Egypt to deliver my people. Did Moses see him as a deliverer when God first talked to him? No, because he said, who am I? And I'm sure that God would have said, Moses, don't you know who you are? Then he said, well, I can't speak. God said, well, I've made man's tongue. Well, I'm not eloquent. Well, I'll give you your brother Aaron. How many know that only went for a short time before God got mad? Moses was trying to tell God that he was a liar. Because when God first spoke to Moses, he didn't see himself what God said. Or how God said he was. Or who God said he was. So you got to know what God said is true. You got to know it's yours. You got to know it's his will for your life. And you got to know it's a reality right now. How does your healing exist? It exists because he said it. Well, do you see it? No, I heard it. And because I heard it, I know it exists. So it doesn't matter what I see with these eyes, it matters what I know here. That's faith. I want you to be so developed. I want you to be Superman and Supergirl, people of faith. I want your faith to be so strong and so powerful that wherever you go, you're a miracle going somewhere to happen. Say, I'm a miracle going somewhere to happen. Well, do you have the miracle worker in you? Then wherever you go, you have the potential for miracles. How many has ever ordered a pizza? You get on the phone, you dial the number, you call the pizza place. How many have a close relationship with the pizza delivery person? It's probably someone you've never met before, right? But what do? You say, I would like a large cheese pizza with ham and pineapple or whatever. And they say, okay. And you hang up the phone, and what do? You start setting the table. Now, you haven't seen the pizza. All you know is you talk to someone on the phone, a total stranger, and you're believing that in 15 or 20 minutes or less, you're going to have what you ordered at your door. And you get off the phone and you start setting the table. Why? Because you are expecting a pizza to be there. You are expecting to get what you ordered. Now, more people have faith in the pizza place than they do in God. Because we ask God for something, but we don't have any action of expectation. How many has ever delivered a snail mail letter? You put an address on that letter, and you lick those gross glue stamps, and you stick it on that letter, and you just believe that it's going to get to your destination. And all you know is, rain or shine, snow or sleet, that somehow you're going to give your letter, you're going to put it in a box most likely, and it's going to be mixed up with all other kinds of letters, but you believe that your letter is going to get to its destination. And you don't go home, you say, oh, I hope they get that letter. I hope they get that letter. You're not calling the post office saying, did you deliver my mail yet? Did you deliver that letter yet? The post office isn't even going to know what letter you're talking about because they deal with thousands of letters. But some people have more faith in the post office than they do in God. Let me give you something that will help bring about what you're believing God for. Okay? First of all, you've got to start with the blueprint. Did you know that when a builder builds a building, he builds it before he builds it? It's called a blueprint. He draws measurements, height, depth. He draws detail. And then the builder, he takes the blueprint. This is the blueprint. He takes the blueprint and he goes to Lowe's and he gets material. What is the material that we use in faith? It is speaking the word of God. When you speak the word of God, you are sending material to the job site. If you haven't spoken the word of God, your contractor is going, I can't do anything because I haven't gotten any material. Yes, I've got the blueprint, but I need the material now to build what's on the blueprint. And the words that you speak out of your mouth, you are sending material to the job site. Okay? So you have the blueprint plus the material equals the manifestation. Because after a period of time, you're going to start to see a foundation. Then you're going to see the walls. Then you're going to see the roof. Then you're going to see the wiring. Then you're going to see it all covered. And then finally, you're going to see a finished product. With faith, you've got to lay the foundation. What's the foundation? Getting enough of what God said about your situation. You've got to get enough of what God said about your situation until you're absolutely 100% fully persuaded, convinced. You have to know it can't go any other way. You've got to be so convinced, and the more evidence you have, the more convinced you are. You're not going to prove your case with circumstantial evidence. So you take the blueprint plus the material. It's you speaking what God said. You're sending it to the job site. And then what happens? The Holy Spirit builds what's on the blueprint. And then in not too short a time, you have the finished product, which is the manifestation of what you've been believing for. Do you realize that they don't depart from the blueprint? If they did, wouldn't they violate code? Because an inspector comes in to make sure that they followed the blueprint and they did everything that they were supposed to do. This is what Charles Capp said. There is enough faith in every promise of God to cause to become true in your life and in the life of every person on the face of the earth. There is enough faith in every promise of God that can cause to come to pass in your life, cause it to be true in your life and every person on this planet. Because really, the power of faith is the ability to create. God said, let there be light, when it was dark. And the light didn't come on until he said, let there be light. But once he said, let there be light, the Holy Spirit took his words and activated what he said, and light came on. All God had to do was say it, and it happened. Same thing with us. All we have to do is say it, and it'll happen. Go with me to Proverbs 18:1. I better get moving. Oh, I'm sorry, 18:21. Proverbs 18:21. Now, if you're going to wonder why this is, you're going to have to ask God. But he said, death and life is in the power of what? The tongue. Why did God put the power of life and death in your tongue? You're going to have to ask him. Why did he say in the beginning, let there be light? He could have created light any other way, but he chose to do it that way. Okay? So, the power of the tongue is really an interesting phrase. The power of the tongue is actually the hand of the tongue that gives direction. When they used to have kings, I mean, they still have some kings on the earth, but when there was a true monarchy, and if a king wanted to throw a party, would he put on his old clothes and start bringing out the ladders and the chairs and the tables to decorate? Is that how a king would do it? You got to get this picture. A king would sit on his throne. He wouldn't lift a hand, but he would speak words. I want you to go get the tables. I want you to get the chairs. I want chefs. I want you to prepare a meal. All a king would do to make his party manifest is speak words. Jesus is king of who? Who are the kings he's king of? We are. You're a royal priesthood. Did you know that you were a royal priest? You're a holy nation. You're peculiar. Look at your neighbor and say, you're peculiar. Now, that doesn't mean strange. It means God. It means ownership. Okay? So your words, the words that you say every day, are the words that are setting the cornerstone to your life. Think about it now. Death and life are in the power of the what? So when you speak, you have two choices. You are either creating death or you're creating life with your tongue. Did you know that in James, the Bible says if a man can bridle his tongue, he can control his whole body? Because he gave us the example of great big ships are steered by an itty-bitty rudder compared to the greatness of the ship. And if you want to get a horse to turn to the left, you put a bridle in where? Its mouth. And you yank on that bridle and the horse turns here, or the horse turns here, or you pull back and the horse stops. You can control a horse by what you put in its mouth. You operate in faith by what you put in your mouth. And if you're continually speaking death, guess what? You're going to have faith in death. Because you're hearing yourself speak death. Do you realize that the words that you speak, your heart thinks that's what you actually want? The words that you speak, when you speak words, your heart actually believes that that's exactly what you want. Crooked and perverse speech nullify faith. Just write down this verse, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Ecclesiastes 10, verses 12 through 14. Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. Psalms 34, verses 12 through 14. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And really, there's a lot of things that the Bible says about our speech, our words. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Only speak the truth in love. I could go on and on, but I don't have time. I'm going to end tonight with this one story. There was a blind man sitting on the road to Jericho. His name was Bartimaeus. You can read it in Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It starts with the story. And Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see, but he could hear. And while he was sitting down begging, he heard that Jesus walked by. And when he heard that Jesus walked, hearing Jesus walk by is like hearing the gospel, because Jesus is the Word made flesh. So he was the Word in the flesh. And so when he heard that Jesus walked by, he began to do something. He did what he could do. He began to cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people who were traveling with Jesus, they went to Bartimaeus and they said, "Shh. We got a busy schedule. Hold your peace." He's like, "I don't think so." Uh-oh. He got louder. See, the devil is subtle. He does not want you speaking God's word, because he knows the power that happens when you speak his word, when you speak God's word. Because you know what? When you speak God's word, he can't do anything about it. So there was Bartimaeus. He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped. And the people that told Bartimaeus to shut up had to go get him, say, "Bring him to me." So they brought Bartimaeus to Jesus. And Jesus said this. He said, "What do you want me to do?" Long time ago, many years ago, there was a game show called Name That Tune. Right? I could name that tune in two notes. Jesus, you could say, Jesus went to Bartimaeus. He said, "Name your miracle." Jesus said, "What is it that you want me to do?" He got the attention of the word by what he said. Because all he could do was hear and speak. He couldn't see. He was blind. So, Bartimaeus, without hesitation, he said, "Lord, that I may see." And Jesus said, "Be it according to your faith." And Bartimaeus was no longer blind. You know what he did on his way to Jesus? He took off his begging garment. He said, "I'm not going to beg anymore." That was an act of faith. He was still blind when he took off his garment. You can read the story. See, he got rid of the old so that he could accept something new. Sometimes if you want to make room for the new, you got to get rid of something old. Because God won't put new wine in an old wineskin. Because an old wineskin is stiff. God can't move an old wineskin. So he won't put new wine in an old wineskin. Because an old wineskin is stiff, brittle, hard, stiff-necked. But Bartimaeus said, based on what he heard. And because what he heard, he said it, therefore he believed it because he acted on it. Guess what? If he wouldn't have said anything, his miracle would have passed him by. If he would have just sat there and done nothing, he would have not received his sight. But he didn't do nothing, and I know that's a double negative, but I don't care. He did something. He did what he could do. He did what he knew to do. And God met him. And he was totally and completely healed based on his faith. And you can read the story, Mark 10, Luke 18, and Matthew, I think it's 20. But Mark 10 has the greatest details about the story. What are you saying? You're saying what you're hearing. If you want to change what you say, change what you hear. Because your words are powerful. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise tonight for this lesson on faith and healing. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would energize our faith. Those that are here tonight are hungry. Lord, you said that you would fill those who are hungry and thirsty for your righteousness. Father, I pray that you fill them right now in the name of Jesus with strong faith. Lord, they desire the sincere milk of the word that their faith may grow thereby. Lord, I give you thanks and praise that you're activating their faith, you're increasing their faith, you're making their faith stronger. Your word is working effectually in them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you're making each one of us a powerhouse for you. That when we speak, the power of God moves on whatever situation we need to move it. If a demon's in your way, do you realize you have authority over that demon? You can say, "Shut up in the name of Jesus," and that demon will have to shut up. You got to know who you are and what you've been given. Thank you, Father. that you make us great faith. Great faith. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There's nothing I can't do. Wherever I lack wisdom, God shows me what to do. And whatever I lack, I can ask of Him. And He'll give to me liberally. He won't hold back because my God is good to me. I'm God's favorite. God loves me. God wants me to succeed. And I agree with God. Therefore, I speak His words. I walk in His ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Get bold about your faith. No time for wimpy faith. We're living in darkness. God needs some people that are willing to shine brightly. He needs some salmon that are willing to go upstream against the current, against the status quo, against mediocrity. God doesn't want you living on barely get along street next to Grumble Alley. He's an El Shaddai God. He is more than enough. He is too much. He brought 2 to 3 million people out of Egypt, and the Bible says none sickly, not one of them was sick when they left Egypt. And not only that, they didn't leave Egypt broke. They plundered Egypt in one night because God said, ask your master. That'd be like you going to your boss and saying, I like that watch. Can you give it to me? And he'd be like, sure. Say, I like that car. Can you give it to me? Sure. That's what they did. The Bible said they plundered Egypt. In one night, God transferred 400 years of back wages to Israel. What do you think they built the tabernacle with? What do you think they built the ark with? All the stuff that they got out of Egypt. Besides, it was Joseph who got the wealth to Egypt in the first place. I'm excited about faith. Can you tell? I'm on fire about faith. This is the greatest opportunity. Listen, when things are bad, that's when faith can be the strongest. When your back is against the wall, God loves it when the deck is stacked against Him. Because He can show Himself strong. Amen. Now, I want you to know this, and I'm done. God is not the author of negative things. But God takes a negative thing and turns it into a positive. So don't be saying that, well, God causes negative things so that I, no. God is good. Say, God is good all the time. So He's not the author of negative, but He takes a negative and makes it into a positive. Isn't that what Joseph said? What the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. Paul said, God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. No matter what you go through, my grace can handle it. My grace is your shield and a buckler. My grace can handle it. Okay, I'm done because I might just take off again. Thank you for coming out tonight. Women, take this opportunity on Saturday. If you can, come to Woven and bring someone with you. And go out and be bold as a lion. Can I just put it where the rubber meets the road? I'm gonna shock you a little bit. Don't take any crap from the devil. The Bible says you can trample under him. He's under your feet. So go out and act like it. Act like you're a champion. Okay, I am done now. Until next week.